The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Empowered. Today I have Dani Guy joining us. She is a nutritionist and the co-founder of Bite Right, but you probably know her from her handle Dani P. Guy on Instagram. She is the unfiltered, honest, laugh-out-loud mama of three boys on Instagram. And there have been times when I've followed this beautiful woman who I've just thought, gosh, I wish I had the guts to say what she says, because she speaks her truth and she rises above self-doubt time and time again. In today's episode, we chatted about meeting the love of her life, Cam, and falling pregnant 2 months later at 21, navigating running businesses and mum life, which includes prioritizing her career and studying, despite, you know, mum guilt and all the things that come with that. At 30, this woman has achieved so much and has such an amazing, incredible story. So I hope you enjoy. All right. Welcome, Dani Patricia Guy. I recently heard your middle name. Thank you for being on the podcast today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
You just turned 30. Happy birthday.
Thank you. I'm actually really excited to be 30 and see what like the next decade holds, because this past decade has just been hectic. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
I felt the same. Hey, I felt
despite
like
the
really...
grays. Yeah.
The grays, did you say?
The greys can get going. That's for sure.
You've got a couple of greys here.
I do. I think I cut about 10 out the day before I turned 30.
Oh, too good.
So just a quick snip. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like you could embrace it and totally rock it. But yes, happy birthday. I didn't know that we were the same year. 1991 babies.
Yeah. 91 babies. We are.
Well, let's just rock. Everyone.
So is Cam. Yeah.
Oh, we're gonna get on to your beautiful husband in a moment. But I'm going to start with break the ice questions because I thought we could just like warm ourselves up.
OMG.
Okay. What's something you did this week that brought you joy?
Just enjoying the long weekends with the family. Because Cam and I have such hectic schedules, it's not often that, you know, we get to prioritize family life a lot. Mm. So just being able to have a really nice weekend, it was really hot. We went to the beach every day and just thoroughly enjoyed it with, I wouldn't say no work, but minimal work.
Yeah.
So it was really nice. And that brought me lots of joy. Yeah.
Oh, good. What is your go-to pump me up song?
Oh, my God.
It can just be currently if it's too, like...
No,
much.
I have my go-to party.
Okay, go.
It's my party song. It's Juicy by Biggie Smalls. It's my pump-up song.
Yeah. I'm going
to... Because I can rap every word to it.
Oh, can you? I need to see this.
I can. It's my party trick.
Okay. Well, as soon as I leave the studio today, I'm going to pop that on Spotify and bang it out for you, all right? Because just as a celebration, we're getting on the podcast together. if you could have a superpower, what would it be?
Oh, no, that's too hard. Okay. There's so many. Probably read people's minds.
Oh, no, I don't want to know what people think about me. Really? Oh, my God.
Yes, I want to know. Tell me everything. I want to hear every dirty little thought you're thinking about. Especially nails, because you know how they say, like, men go every single minute with thinking about sex, and I want to see if that's true.
Bloody horny creatures, eh?
They are.
Okay, that was my last one. So let's dive into a little bit about you and where you're from, because you're in Central Coast right now.
Yeah.
Are you originally from there?
Yes. Oh. I'm from the Central Coast in New South Wales. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was born and raised here.
Yeah.
But I moved to Western Australia. Some people think I'm from Western Australia because I moved there and I lived there for 5 years, and that's where I met Cam.
Right. That's my next question, is how did you meet? Like, talk us through, because I love your relationship with Cameron. I feel like it's, you know, you guys have a really, you can just see it. You guys radiate love when you're looking at each other. And I love that you guys are so relatable. Like, you know, I think most couples can see themselves in you guys, and I think it's a beautiful thing to witness and for you guys to share. I love it. And you guys are, you know, kind of just cheeky, and it's sweet. So I wanted to know how you and Cam actually met.
Oh, thank you. He makes it so easy to love him. Like, obviously he drives me fucking mad as well, but he is just such a beautiful soul. Mm-hmm. So we met when I moved to Western Australia to work in the mines. I had like a 21-year-old crisis, fled my city that I grew up in, and just went to go live in the mines, work in the mines. And I met him there. I think I met him like 6 months after moving over to Western Australia. And we hit it off. I remember like the very first time that we even looked at each other. And he remembers too, because I was walking in, it's called like the wet mess, where we go and have drinks after work, because everyone in the mines loves to get on the beers after work. So walking into the wet mess, and he was sitting at the table watching the AFL with his back to me, and he had his hood on. And I was like, oh, mysterious, who's that? Anyway, walked past him to go to the toilet, and I looked over my shoulder, and he was staring at my bum, and I caught him, and then he looked at me, and he was like, oh, shit, what? And that was the very first time, like, we ever looked at each other. We both remember so much. And then, yeah, from there, we kind of just hit it off. We had, a bit of a rocky start being 21. I had just moved to Western Australia. We both weren't in any headspace to be in a relationship. So it was, like, you know, 4 or 5 months back and forth, whether or not we wanted to be together. And then, yeah, he flew me up to Bali for my birthday. And he asked me out on my birthday. I know, he went all out. So he asked me out on my birthday. And then from there, we flew back to Perth. I packed my bags, moved in with him, and 2 months later, we were pregnant. So thank fuck, it all happened really fast, and we had all that sorted. So yeah, it was like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, done, dusted, 2 months. So it was full on. And now we have 3 kids.
I mean,
isn't it hectic? I still think like,
it's so hectic, but like at the same time, I feel like it's a story that provides a lot of hope for people, because sometimes that does happen.
Yeah.
And I think it's more common than not that it doesn't necessarily work out, because you guys were so, you guys didn't really know each other yet. And then,
no, we didn't. And it was years like getting to know each other with kids as well. So we kind of never had that relationship before kids, because when I fell pregnant, I was violently sick. So, you know, the next 9 months before we had a baby was me in bed or me in hospital. It was never like going out, getting to know each other more, and, you know, experiencing what a relationship is like before we have kids. But I guess as well, like that 6 months leading up to when we did have, or like fell pregnant, we were just, everything was so fun. We were together all the time. We had so much fun. We did like spiral into it really quickly and get to know each other really fast. But I guess as well, because we're so alike and we just got along like a house on fire, and it was really easy. And I think that's been the foundation of our relationship and getting through those hard times of having kids so young, so early into relationship, that he truly is just like my best mate.
Oh, it's so beautiful to hear. And I feel like it's rare, but it's such a lovely thing to see you guys have that beautiful, genuine connection where you can see that you genuinely have fun together. Clay and I went on a date the other day, and we just went to the grocery store without the kids, and the grocery shop was the highlight, like, because we just had so much fun doing such a boring, shitty job, but without the interruptions. Yeah. And I do feel like that is such a important part of any relationship, is the ability to make boring stuff really fun.
Yeah, for sure. But I also want people to know as well, like, yes, Cam and I, we get along like a house on fire. He's the love of my life. I could never ever picture myself with being with anybody else. But that doesn't mean that we don't have hard times. Yeah. And that doesn't mean that we won't go through situations or be attracted to other people, or go through stages of not falling out of love, but like going through stages of not sure where you are in your relationship because you've got the parenting going on. You've got the relationship. Your mum and dad always takes priority over everything. So you kind of lose the husband and wife. You kind of lose that romance. And it takes a lot of work to continue to fight for that, to make sure, like you said, make a boring situation fun, to continue to stay in that relationship as husband and wife and not just mum and dad. So I want people to know as well, like, yes, we look like we have an amazing relationship and we do, but it doesn't mean shit still isn't hard. And that doesn't mean, like, you know, you're just, you have eyes for this person only, and you're never going to look at anyone else and nothing's ever going to be a distraction, because that's just not true. We're all humans and there's going to be times when you find other people attractive, but it's whether or not that you act on that if is how your relationship works. So like for me, I of course can look at another girl and be like, oh, she's attractive, and vice versa. But we know that that's just human feelings and human nature. But at the end of the day, he is the love of my life. I find him the most attractive out of anybody, and I want to spend the rest of my life with him.
Mm.
Yeah. So I just want people to know, like, you know, just make sure people don't just look at us and be like, oh, they've got their shit together. It's all sorted. You know, they're so happy. They're so in love. It's a fairy tale, when it's just not the case. It is, but it isn't. You know, we need to look at it as like real life situations.
Oh, thank you so much for sharing that, because I think it's a really toxic part of Instagram that we watch and we assume that you guys don't fight, you know, you don't get on each other's nerves, and it's just, it couldn't be further from the truth. Clay and I get that a lot too. I just put an assumption box up yesterday and people were like, assumption was like, the number one assumption was like, you and Clay never fight. And I'm like, of course we do. Like, do I need to live stream our next heated argument? Like,
yeah, fight. Yeah.
Because I just
don't like to share that part.
Well, I mean, it's very uncomfortable to share what's going on in your relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I don't want to share it. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Because it's just at the time is so irrelevant, and people don't need to see every private little tantrum with each other.
Yeah.
But they still need to, it's private, and some things need to be kept private. That's one thing I've definitely learned on Instagram. I've become a lot more private than I used to be. And, you know, we just need to know that just because what we see on Instagram looks perfect, it's not. And we all, everyone fights. You're never going to find a couple. Like, I do not believe that there is a couple out there that never fights. It's just not possible. It's not possible.
Yeah. No, it's not. And I don't think it's a healthy thing to not have your own opinions and to be able to regulate through that process of, like, you know, I disagree with you.
And grow together.
That's it.
Yeah,
Totally agree. And, yeah, I think it's really important that you do share that, because we do tend to only share, like, the highlights, because we need to have that healthy balance of privacy. So you guys were 21 when you met. Let's go through the timeline of kids and stuff. So when did you get married, like, after? So then you had baby number one when you were 22.
Yep, Nixon. So I was 22, Cam was 23. And then we were married 7 months later. So Nixon was 7 months old when we got married. And that was, so Nixon 2014. We got married in 2015. And then we had Teo in 2017. So I think by that time I was 25.
Yeah.
And then had Harmy 13 months later. So they're 13 months apart, and I was 26 when we had him. So it's been an absolute, I don't even know, hectic, fucking crazy time.
And this might be a bit of overstepping the mark, but did you mean to do all that?
Fuck no. They were all surprises.
Were they? Did you guys not know how to put a bloody...
We tried.
Contraception, Danny.
You know
it exists.
I know. But you know what? I was always told that I could never have kids. That was the thing. My doctors said, you know, you can never have kids. I had a Letts procedure when I was 19.
Right.
From pre-cervical cancer, as I had SYN 3, so they had to shave off a lining of my uterus.
Sure.
And then I had endometriosis as well as PCOS, so all those things, like, back then as well. I'm talking, I was 19, so this was 11 years ago, and I guess it's not as known as it is now. So for them to be like, oh, yeah, you probably won't be able to conceive and have kids. So that's all I heard was, okay, So then, no, I didn't have to take the pill anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't that careful. And then, yeah, 2 months in, we were like, okay, it's meant to be. Because I was with my ex-partner for 7 years and I was never on the pill.
Wow.
So, like, we were like, yeah. So we were both just like, okay, maybe this is so meant to be. And yeah. We truly believe that it was. So, yeah. And then I didn't think that, like, the first fucking time we had sex after our second one, we'd fall pregnant.
Right.
He was 4 months old. Teo was 4 months old. So they were all surprises, but they were beautiful surprises.
Beautiful surprises, but you are playing with fire.
Yeah, someone put me in an institution. Fuck.
No, you seem to be made for it, and it's like, it's again, I love watching, you know, how you've parented, and you know, we do some things differently, but I just love how raw and honest you are, how upfront you are, and how non-judgmental you are with when you are sharing bits and pieces of, you know, how you, your sleeping arrangements, you, what they eat. Like, it's just all so, I love it. I love following you. So let's go into when that all started. When did you start kind of going off? I actually got a bit of a following. Like, I'm sure you kind of were putting bits and pieces out to your friends and family, and then, like, maybe some people started following you and asking you questions. When did that, like, you know, did you have the 3 kids already, or when did that kind of start happening for you?
It was right after I had Nixon. So being so sick and then, you know, laying in bed for a long time, being able to just eat what I could eat, it got towards the end of my pregnancy and I had just put on a lot of weight. And then it was after we had Nixon, then I kind of went on this like transformation journey kind of thing to get healthy again. I really just wanted to look after him, because before that, Cam and I were just like partying, drinking all the time in a really unhealthy lifestyle. We lived a really unhealthy lifestyle, and having a child, really, we were both just like, okay, we need to pull our head out of our ass. Basically, he is our world, he's our priority, we need to look after ourselves to be able to look after him. So yeah, that's kind of when that started. And then I lost a lot of weight, and it was quite in a short amount of time, so about four or five months. And then I was doing Kayla Itsenis's program at the time, and I just shared the before and after on my personal family page, which I think I had maybe like 1,000 or 2,000 followers, and that was it. And she shared that transformation photo on her page, and then that kind of took off. I think I had about 15,000 followers overnight after that first one. And yeah, that's kind of just where it continued. And then I continued to show my journey, and she reposted a few times as I kept training, kept getting a little bit more fitter and things like that. And then I had Teo again, and by that time my following was well established. I think I was at like 60,000-70,000 followers by then. And yeah, I just, fitness and health has just been my lifestyle for the past 7 years after having kids. And that's been why I guess people come onto my page and follow and ask questions and become, I hope, inspired to know that Absolutely. They can do it as well. And yeah, that's how it all just kind of unfolded. So 7 years ago now.
So you weren't really in the fitness space before you had kids?
Not at all. Well, not at all. I was very unhealthy, I can tell you.
Yeah, I mean, when you said that though, in the back of my mind, like, I feel like, you know, going out and drinking and having fun, I feel like potentially was so necessary for you guys considering how young you were. And it's like, if you're not going to do it then, you're going to do it later in life at probably an even more inappropriate, harder to recover age. So I feel like, you know, as much as it's like, I've always thought about that. I'm like, if you're young, live young. Like, you got to. Like,
that's just right.
A layer of complexity having a baby.
Yeah, that's so right. And I've lived out of home since I was 15 as well. So I guess my party days started so, so young.
Yeah.
So I was able to like fully get that out of my system, make lots of mistakes, learn from my mistakes. I had to grow up very quickly. So by the time, you know, I had my first job at 12 years old, and then, you know, I was working 3 jobs to help pay for my dad's rent and the roof over his head and food and things like that at the age of 15. So by the time, you know, I lived on my own at 15, and then by the time I was ready to about to have a child, I felt like I was mentally so much older than I was to make the decisions to take control of our life and make him our priority, but still was so naive in what to expect with parenting as well. So it was kind of like a major balance to play with it all.
Thank you for sharing that. And it sounds like you've had a really difficult, but I guess, you know, it's one of those things is like all those hardships have shaped you into who you are today. And it all makes sense when you look back at it. But yeah, sorry you had to experience that when you were younger, because that's a lot.
Oh, don't apologize, because I am proud of the person I am today. And you're exactly right. All those experiences that I went through have helped shape me and my mindset today. Like I, as you said before, you know, I will never judge. I'm not about judging people. I think that we should all just be open-minded to other people's feelings and their, you know, their decisions in life and their opinions. And it doesn't matter what other people are doing. And, you know, I've really had to learn that over the years of being, you know, on my own and having to grow up quite quickly. So, yeah, I really take pride in knowing that if you, especially like my friend, immediate friend group, they always know that they can count on me and I'll never, ever judge. That's just one thing that I just get really upset when people do. And you know what it's like being on a page where you're susceptible to hundreds of thousands of people and their opinions. It can become quite, you know, hard after a while. So making sure that I really show how open-minded I am, show the things that I do, reiterate that I'm would never judge anyone for what they do, and I'm really open-minded to help people, then realize that they can also do that too, and that is absolutely a way that you can live your life and be happier for it.
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to talk about, because sometimes you share stuff, Danny, and I'm like, I bloody wish I could say that. I just don't have the guts. And I'm like, where do you reckon that stems from? Because you definitely have this like, this is what I think, and you share it. And I'm like, man, how did you get to that kind of place where you have that confidence and that just like inner knowing to be like, I'm okay if people don't agree with this?
Yeah. I really think like that is a part of DNA. That's a part of my DNA. That's a part of my personality, like who I am. Obviously, the experiences and the situations I've been through in life have helped expose that even more. But I honestly do think that I was born with my personality as I am to be able to be like, I don't give a fuck about what people think or say about me, or just be able to speak my mind. I guess I go into situations knowing that I, again, wouldn't judge other people and I'm open-minded. So, and I never say things about anyone else, or I never open subjects or topics or speak my mind about other people's choices or opinions. It's always about, you know, my lifestyle, the way I live. I talk about, you know, what I do for myself. I'm never opening a conversation where I could be judged because I'm judging somebody else. So I think that's where kind of that confidence comes from. But I've always been quite a confident person. Like, as I said, I honestly just think it was part of my personality that I was born with.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I definitely need to take a leaf out of your book there, because I'm like, I just like the ultimate people pleaser and so worried about what people think, which is such a disaster for someone who has hundreds of thousands of people that follow me.
I know, but it's hard. And I, but you know what? I'm sometimes like, I wish I could be as sweet as Revy. And I honestly sit here and think that sometimes, like when I watch your stories and I'm like, fuck, I can be so not aggressive, but I'm very, you know, I'm assertive. I'm an assertive person. And I'm like, I wish I could just be like chilled and mellow and just sweet like Revy. And I'm like, that's just not who I am. It's just not what I was born with, you know? So I guess when you say that, like, how are you so confident? I think we all will feel we want to be different ways, that we don't see ourselves in the light that other people see us. Like when I see you, you are such a bright light in this space, and it is just so positive that we need that, you know. And you're sweet and you're you, and you, there's nothing to change. You're perfect. Like, you know, it's, that's the way we
That's so
That's
nice.
The way we see. So, yeah.
Thank you, beautiful. That is so, so lovely. Okay, the next topic I wanted to discuss with you really is about, I need to swear, because like how the fuck did you study to become a nutritionist with three kids? And do you help Cam run his business? Like you do the admin for him?
Yeah.
And then you have three kids and then you like look after yourself and then you studied as well. How, babe? Like,
yeah. ADHD, mate. ADHD, honestly. But no, I actually did have ADHD as a child. Mm-hmm. Have grown out of it a lot now, but I can run off 5-6 hours sleep and be okay. And that is exactly what I did. It was nighttime studying, or it was, you know, putting the kids in daycare 3 days a week, getting it done on those days. Nixon was in school for a little bit of it as well. So he was there 5 days a week and the other kids would go 3 days a week. And just trying not to feel guilty about that, knowing that I need this for me as a person and not just a mother, and knowing that I am creating a life for myself, not only for me, but for my kids. Like, this is helping for the future for my children to be able to have a career for myself, showing them that, you know, they need to give respect to their partners and women in general, that we are more than equipped to be able to be a mom, study, work as well, and do it all. And we're allowed to. We're not just here to be a stay-at-home mom and appease everyone else and, you know, just live our lives being mothers. I want to be my own person. So yeah, making those sacrifices to be able to do it and just finding the time.
Oh, I love that answer. I think it's so inspirational. I personally just, I feel like I was such a bad student that the thought of like going back and studying something again, just, I just don't even, I can't wrap my head around it because I already feel so consumed by parenting and work and then, you know, being creative. So to think that you had three young boys at home and running your partner's business and looking after yourself and going back and just prioritizing what it is that you want within your career, I find that so inspirational. And I know so many women would just be like, that's, you know, they would want to do that, but it's like you've really got to clear the way and go, okay, what is my priority? Why am I doing this? Yes, I am worth it. Yes, I am capable. My kids need to see me role model this. And you've done that. And it's just so incredible to watch and to witness and to, yeah, see on your stories and your posts. So that is amazing. You should be so proud of yourself.
Oh, thank you.
Before we get into the business side of things, why did you choose nutrition? Is it something that you feel really obviously quite passionate about? But what where's the passion behind it and how did it start?
Yeah, so obviously getting into the health and fitness journey after I had Nixon, I love exercising and, you know, working out and stuff, but I never saw PTing being a career for me. Like, it's just something I didn't want to do. It wasn't flexible with the hours either to be a mum as well. As you know, like most PT times you're getting up earlier, it's late afternoons. Mm-hmm. So that kind of wasn't something that would fit with the lifestyle. But I've always had an absolute keen interest in cooking. I love cooking. You know, my first job was working at IGA. Then I went to the deli next door and I started cooking out of the deli there. And then from there, I worked in cafes and restaurants and, you know, big bistros and kitchens. And every chance I was in the kitchen, I was cooking. And that's kind of where like my love for food and cooking stemmed. And being able to, I worked at like a very healthy cafe. So to being able to learn that when I was younger as well was really fun and interesting. But I think the hardest part was going on my fitness and health journey. I didn't know about nutrition. I was just completely winging it. It wasn't for the best because I was restricting carbs without knowing it. I was getting tired, not knowing why, things like that. So for me to be able to study something I love, which is food and health, was so important. And it was like my really driving factor to be able to help people as well with what I've learned, to help them have to not go through the journey of the ups and downs with nutrition that I didn't know about, not what to do, and to, yeah, really be able to help them was really important to me as well, to be able to give back more to my following and community too. So that was, yeah, and to be able to continue to make healthy choices for my family too.
Yeah, I mean, incredible. And then you're like, okay, now I'm going to be a boss bitch and have an app.
Yeah, so that was actually in the works from before I even graduated. So Taylor, my business partner, and her husband, Bobby, Taylor's the sports dietitian. So she's actually from Brisbane. And yeah, I messaged her one day on Instagram and I was like, this is my idea. This is my concept. This is what I want to do. I knew I couldn't do it on my own. For one, I wasn't experienced enough, even though I've studied, you know, she had 7 years worth of experience being a sports dietitian, which is the top of the wazza when it comes to like people in the health and fitness industry. She works with like the biggest CrossFit athletes as well as strength and conditioning athletes. She works in clinics, so she works with people of all kind of diseases and health issues and stuff. So she was definitely a person that I wanted on board to be able to bring her knowledge to the table and really like fully make sure that we help as much as we can. So yeah, I approached her, gave her the idea, and she was like, actually, I'm literally 50% way through starting one already. And I said, I want to invest. I want to be a business partner. So yeah, we all sat down, had a meeting about it. And yeah, it was from that first meeting decided that I've become a business partner, which was pretty cool. So I invested in, and yeah, that's kind of where it's all stemmed from. So we are 10 months into launch. We've had like thousands and thousands of downloads, which is really cool. We're about to go international. And yeah, we just want to keep expanding and going as big as we can, not so much people-wise, but we really want to cherish the community inside BiteRight that we have and offer them more inside. So continue to work on the app and just make it better for the existing clients that we have and people that then decide to join afterwards.
Wow. You have a lot going on.
Yeah, that's been a mammoth task. Like developing an app is no joke. Okay, it's hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's so much time. It's been hectic. And because we're a startup as well, you know, a lot of the time you're doing most of the work. So Taylor, I, and Bobby, we split most of the work, although we have some amazing recipe developers that work for the sports dietitian who do all of our recipe development for the app, which is just incredible. And they're fully qualified dietitians. So we make sure that all of our employees are qualified dietitians or nutritionists to be able to make sure that we're giving the best industry standard nutrition advice as well as creating the recipes. But yeah, it's just, it's such a huge job, but it will also give like myself and the family some flexibility to be able to, you know, still travel while working, doing an app, because we can do it from anywhere basically. So yeah, but it's been a huge feat because I've not only had to parent 3 kids as well as, you know, Cam's got his electrical business that I was still doing the books for. We have an Airbnb in Bali and then the Instagram as well, obviously. And I do private clients for nutrition as well, which I've just closed my books because I'm at the point where I'm like, it's too much. I can't do. I'm going to go mad. So, yeah. Full on.
I think some people say it's too much after one kid and, you know, and a job, let alone all the things that you're running and, you know, 3 little amazing boys. It's incredible to see you juggle. I want to ask something that I feel like a genuine question that I feel like some people wonder about my relationship, and I wonder it genuinely with other people's relationships. How do you, I mean, it's a hard question to answer because I feel like you just get by, but is there anything that you can share that would help the listeners? Because you've obviously got your work, your businesses, and a personal brand with thousands of people part of your community. You've also got yourself, which you obviously prioritize, to see you, you know, looking after your body and really making the time to exercise and eat healthy. How do you make time for you and Cam? Because you guys have such a beautiful relationship.
Oh, thank you. We struggle. Like, we do struggle to try and make time, but we also try and really rely on our family when they offer. So my mum is really good with the kids, as well as Cam's mum. She's really good with the kids as well, where they'll have them for full weekends at a time, which is really, really nice. And we just make sure that we make the most of those times when we do. Or it's as little as trying to get the kids to bed by 7 o'clock so we can at least sit on the couch and watch a movie together while we have dinner. Or, you know, being like, okay, I'm going to schedule in half of my day of this day off and I need you to do the same because we really need this time. And he will. He'll block off his schedule. He'll push a job back if he has to. And we really just make sure that we communicate about it when we feel like we are struggling on that connection side of things, and not that it's just like, hey, honey, I'm home. Let's go to bed. Done. Good night. You know, it's like, it's really trying to communicate and make sure that we're both having our cups filled.
No, that's awesome advice. Thank you for sharing that. I wanted to finish with, I know you're a big fan of this. I can't answer your ones because they gross me out, but I know you love playing Would You Rather. So I've got a couple of here. And I feel like you're going to be like, these are piss weak.
Innocent?
Because your ones.
Fuck, there's some disgusting ones. Hey, my God. And people are like, where do you get these from? And I'm like, my fucked up brain. That's where I don't know what it is. I'm just a person that I just don't get grossed out.
Really? Like nothing?
Nah. All right, snot and saliva. Get away from me. Cannot deal. Yeah. That's just two things that I cannot deal with, but everything else, I'm pretty good. I don't really get grossed out or think things are dirty and
Okay. Would you rather have a permanent splinter under your big toenail or have a permanent bad haircut?
Ooh, shit. That's fucked. I'm going to have to go with have a splinter under my big toe because I care too much about my hair.
Love that. I'm the same, I think. At least you can just hide the pain. Okay. Would you rather never have a life without air conditioning or never be able to use deodorant?
Never have a life without air conditioning because I live for my deodorant every day, like multiple times a day. I cannot deal with smelling bad.
Yeah, I'm the same. I'd choose the same as you. All right. Would you rather blend and drink a bug or chew on a bug?
Oh, my God. Blend and drink. Chew? What, like, things get stuck in. You have to floss out some bug. No thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. The texture. But then, like, it's all guts are on the... Oh, nah. Okay. Okay. Would you rather...
No good answer for that anyway.
Would you rather have to make a one-minute speech in front of 10,000 people or have to kiss a frog on the lips?
Oh, I'd just kiss a frog.
Okay.
On the lips.
A one-minute speech, though. It's like...
No, thanks. 10,000 people. No, I'll be in a puddle of my own sweat by the end of it.
Well, at least you'll have deodorant.
I'll need my deodorant then.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Would you rather get married to a zombie or give birth to a zombie?
Oh, what the fuck? Ooh. I think married to a zombie. Yeah, because then I can always leave the zombie, but I can never leave the child.
Oh, that's a nice answer.
Yeah.
Good one. Good job. Well, that really concludes my questions. I knew you would love having those little would you rathers.
Love
I Googled for you. Did a bit of research for you because I know you love them. And I know the other thing you've been doing on your stories, which I've thoroughly enjoyed and we've laughed about this through DMs, is the confessions and what we discovered through the people sending in the confessions to your Instagram is that you and I are very boring people because the stories. Do you think they're real? Because
some of the stories,
if you haven't been across this, the listeners, some of the conversations are around like some cousins being together.
Yeah. I think some of them were genuinely real because they would say like my friend or a person I know, or I would have a conversation with them in my DMs afterwards.
Right.
And they would tell me some more details and kind of like be like, yeah, this, I would be like, oh my God, this actually happened. But I've never, ever, ever in my life been so grateful to be so fucking boring.
Yeah, same. Some of the things you get sent, I'm like, wow, there's a lot going on in, like, you know, like Will Smith's just come out and said that he's in a non-monogamous marriage. Is that right? I think that's right, where they are open to sleeping with other people. And I'm just like, I kind of get the breakdown of it that, like, someone along the lines has said partners get married and that's who you stay with for the rest of your life and you don't sleep with anyone else and it's a commitment and it's infidelity if you don't sleep. So I get that and I totally agree. I'm like, who made those rules? Why are we following that? But then I also am like, if Clay slept with someone else, we would forever be done.
Yeah.
And vice versa. Like, never.
And I think that's, and I had this conversation on my Instagram a little while ago saying, like, who made this shit up, you know? Like, for sure, you know, for me personally, I want to spend the rest of my life with Cam. Unless we came to a point where we had the conversation, if we were to go and do poly, whatever it is, you know, but it's just not something we want. I don't even know. It's just not something that we decide for ourselves, but it shouldn't be someone else can decide it for us. So when people are like, you know, I have an open relationship, I'm like, great for you. Well done. Like, well done for not just following the trends or suppressing yourself and your feelings and hiding away, because that's what, you know, we've been ingrained to do for our entire lives for centuries and centuries. And they're being able to be open with themselves and their partners and being like, this is what I want and what my feelings are. Because can you imagine being trapped in a marriage or a relationship where you felt like you couldn't be expressive of the way you wanted to be, in
afraid
of what society would think of you and how unhappy you would spend your one life? Like, that's just the kind of way I think of it. So when people want to go and do what they want to do, good for you, mate. Like, so fucking stoked for people that they can make those decisions and be like, screw society. And I'm like, hell
yeah. I love that too. I love it for them. I don't want anyone. And I also, you know, think that there'll be, with this conversation happening more and more and people with the idealistic relationship like Will Smith and Jada Smith, I feel like it's allowing that freedom to be had, and therefore less people are going to enter relationships with two different expectations and do it on the dirty or do it on the DL, because it's more common.
Right. It'd be less cheating, less affairs, you know. People will feel like they're okay to have the conversation, and that's where it all begins, having the conversation, being open and honest about your feelings and not having to worry about how you'll be judged and what people will think of you. And, you know, hats off to Jada Smith and Will Smith. Like, I think that's just incredible because they're in such a huge limelight, because they are famous. They have the entire world's eyes on them. So to be able to really open up and be, you know, have that conversation with not only themselves but the world is just fucking amazing. And that will open the door for so many people feeling the same way.
Yeah, so interesting. I as much as I have this knowledge, I still just think, like, am I a littler person because I can't be that open and that, like, trustworthy? Or, you know the kind of, like, self-awareness or self-reflection upon your own conditioning. I'm like, maybe I'm like the small-minded one, but I'm like, there is absolutely no way in hell I'm ever going to be doing it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think it's small-minded or not. I think it goes back to, you know, the way we're born and what kind of personality we have and, you know, what kind of beliefs as well for ourselves and our own feelings. Like, I, for one, also could never be someone that can be like, oh, hey, Cam, you just go sleep with that girl and I, and I'll see you at home later. Like, no, not for me either. But good for people if it is for them. And I think people are just built differently and have different feelings towards that. So I don't think you're small-minded at all. It's just you and Clay are happy with what you're doing now and don't see
the traditional marriage, please.
You doing anything differently. Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. I understand you're a super busy woman, so I'm so appreciative of everything that you share, and keep being your lovely, honest, funny self, please, Danny Patricia Guy.
Oh, right back at you, Rev. Thanks so much for having me.
Bye. Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Empowered. I hope you enjoyed getting to know Danny. And if you did, you may enjoy my chat with the lovely Marcia Leone. That's also on my podcast, or my beautiful friend, Courtney McCarty. So you can skim through my episodes to check those episodes out. And if you did want to stick around, please hit the subscribe button or the follow button over on Spotify. It's a free and easy way to support my work in podcasting. Lastly, if you really, really want to support me, you could leave a review. I would so appreciate it. Over on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a 5-star review and tell us what you think of the podcast. It's now time for our affirmation of the week. So take a deep inhalation and I'd love for you to repeat this after me. I am grateful for all the things my body allows me to do. That was lovely. I hope you have a wonderful week. I'm sending you heaps of love. Bye.